Let's get to the host of the Chatty House After Party tonight at 8 o'clock.
Hey.
On ESPN 1320's YouTube and Twitch channels. What's happening, Manny?
What's up, y'all? So here's the other aspect, right? You kind of got to, and I agree with you, Casey, as far as with the kid and everything. But if you're also at that kid and you realize the error of your way, right? You didn't get the lawyer. You didn't get in writing. Your only recourse at this point is, right, you're right, you can play out. And if you continue success, maybe you make it up in the back end. But if not, you got to look at it like you're putting that school in the corner to want to pay you immediately, because not only does this make them look bad in the national spotlight, now for future, there's going to be other players looking at that school like, am I going to get my money here? Am I going to have issues getting my money? Yes, they're obviously going to want to get it in writing too, but it's just that overall, do I even want to deal with them to get my money when I can go somewhere else and know I'm not going to have a hassle or haggle to get that money? So at this point, you're also looking at UNLV. The best thing they can do is to pay this kid, because I think this is a big bluff too. Like, I don't think that kid really wants to go somewhere. He just wants the money and continue with this 3-0 record they got and keep moving forward. And he's hoping that UNLV sees themselves as the ones in the corner, and then they're going to pay him, and they're right back, you know, lovey-dovey again, shaking hands, all that stuff. So I get it. It does make him look bad. He's got to learn from this to grow up as an adult. This is an adult situation for him to learn from. But I don't know if he had any other recourse at that point, to be honest, in this current environment, the way it's built.
Well, check this out. I appreciate you, Manny, man. And everybody go check out Chatty House After Dark tonight, 8 p.m.
Well, I think it's Chatty House After Party. Chatty House After Dark, I think, is an entirely different show.
It's Patreon.
That's the Patreon. That's the
After Party is what I mean. I don't know why After Dark was on my, yeah. I don't know.
Hey, that's all right. That's all right.
I don't know. But go check that out, 8 p.m. On our YouTube station. But here's the thing about UNLV just paying him the $100,000. Obviously, they can. But the head coach, the AD, we never agreed to it. We mean just give him the money. Like, yeah, we didn't say that.
Yeah.
We ain't got nothing to do with this. This is this rogue offensive coordinator who made all these guarantees. So to just be like, yeah, just not saying Manny's wrong, but like the thought of just give him the money, we never agreed to this.
Yeah, I don't think Manny's scenario is taking place. Like, I think there's so many different things that have gone wrong in this entire process that I'm not sure that it's going to be salvaged here. And I also think we're going to see this a lot more than anyone's comfortable with. Because I think with a lot of guys who, as you kind of noted with this brother here, Matthew, that this is their chance to earn money playing football. This is their chance to earn a really good income playing the sport, because it might not happen at any other level. It's probably not going to happen at any other level. And with those type of kids, those young people aren't going to have agents. Those young people aren't going to have lawyers. And, oh, my dad's going to take care of this. My cousin's going to take care of this. My boy's going to take care of this. They don't know to ask those questions. They don't know to push that stuff through. They don't know that not only do we need a promise of a payment, we need a memo stating when these payments are expected to be issued, the consequences for when they're not, and this needs to be laid out in top form before I agree to come play for you.
Right. The other thing I wonder is what kind of conversation, if there was any, happened between this young man and the coaching staff before he decided to go to these lengths.
Good question.
Go to them and say, hey, this is what Coach so-and-so told me. Like, what's up with that? And the head coach was like, we didn't agree to that. We're not giving you $100,000 or whatever the case may be. And then he said, all right, well, I'm done. Like, I wonder if it went down like that, or did he just ask one more time and they just kind of blew him off, and without a conversation, he just went and made that decision? I'm interested about that. I'll ask you, though, do you think all this...
The head coach refused to uphold the agreement after UNLV's latest win, instead offering $3,000 for relocation costs and asserting that the offer wasn't valid because it didn't come from him.
Mm.
Let this be a life lesson. When you're talking to about money, you do not talk to the assistant to the regional manager. You talked directly to the boss. When, what was Craig Robinson's character's name?
That's what I was asking earlier.
Daryl.
No, it's Daryl. When Daryl wanted more money after Roy got fired for trying to punch Jim, he went to Michael. He didn't go to Dwight.
Yeah.
You go to the boss. Mm. You go to the head coach.
You had to learn that. You got to learn that, young fella. Tough. Do you think that...
And then if the boss says, hey, Dwight will take care of the rest, that's fine.
Yeah.
But it starts with the boss.
Do you think that this is a common scenario, or is it much more the way we've been talking about it? Hey, it's in writing. Maybe even not like a contract, but it's in writing as opposed to they just told me. Like, do you think this is an outlier for the way NILs are handled for the most part at the schools right now? Or is all that going to change? Like, does that need to change over time?
Okay.
Because it feels like this is a little flimsy, and it doesn't seem like most schools handle it.
So I think you're right, but let me ask this. If UNLV was 0-3, would the story be this big?
No, because I don't know if he does this if they're 0-3. He's got the leverage right now because they are 3-0. They have a chance, and he can go to
them. Well, he's got the leverage to ask for what he was promised, allegedly.
Right. So he's like, we're 3-0. We got an outside shot at the playoffs. I'm going to ask for my money one more time. If I don't get it, I'll leave. And you guys don't need to. If he comes to you, it's 0-3, and he comes to you like, I'm going to ask for my money one more time. Get the hell out of my office. Yeah. You're lucky. You might not even be starting this week. So yeah. I don't even know if it happens if they're 0-3.
No point.
But it does help to the story, too, that if they're 1-2, if they're 2-1, if they don't even – like, because the whole thing is, like, people in UNLV circles, they're like – I don't know what the official ranking is, but they're like, oh, you got a top 30 program right now, top 30 ranked program. Like, you have an outside shot of having an argument to be in the 12-team playoff. Like, this is a moment right here, and now it might all go up in smoke. There's already people who are saying, like, this actually might be a blessing in disguise because the backup – is a beast. So we'll see how that plays out. But
I'm thinking more about your question. I can't tell if this is an outlier or not, because I think when you so many NILs that we hear about, and not to diminish $100,000 or the opportunity for this man to earn $100,000, but we see NILs in the millions. Mm-hmm. We see NILs in the tens of millions, and there is less than zero chance any of those deals are verbal agreements.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're talking.
Manning did not go, yeah, cool, I'll come here for $13 million. Yeah. See you first day of practice, coach. No.
Right. No. Yeah, that's a great point, too. Like you said, not trying to dismiss $100,000, but maybe that happens there.
Yeah.
A couple million, I think everybody involved is like,
there's agents, there's attorney. Dad's not doing this deal.
Yeah.
Absolutely no chance dad is doing this deal.
That's a good point.
Or Cuddin Pete. Yeah. Not our Cuddin Pete, but Cuddin Pete in general.
To help out Sac State, I wonder if, you know, you'd be willing to, you know, be an NIL contributor. Like, hey, man, here's $600,000 to come here and play for Sac State.
You're projecting again.
You got it.
You're projecting again. Stop it.
You got it. We're trying to get to FBS.
We are trying to get to the FBS.
I think it's going
to
happen, too. Just randomly, I'm just thinking. You know, I read Tea Leaves.
Where do you find them at? Do you subscribe to Tea Leaves?
Well, it's fall now, so they're falling all over.
Oh, you just pick them up and you read them.
That's what somebody said one time. It's not even low-hanging fruit. Just get it off the ground.
Just some guy at the park picking up leaves.
Yeah. Just what are you doing, sir? Just reading. What are you doing?
Just reading
the tea leaves.
But yeah, I think I'm 100% all in. They're going to FBS. They're going to play in either the Pac-12 or the Mountain West, probably the Mountain West. But it's actually going to happen. Like, I'm just looking at things around me. Nobody's talked to me or anything like that. I'm just looking at the way people are moving, and like, this is really going to happen. Like, there's a possibility that San Diego State may come and play Sac State at Hornet Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And we got
probably a slightly revamped Hornet Stadium.
Definitely revamped. I thought about this yesterday. They're probably going to have to. I have to figure out what to do with, like, the track. We can't really lose have the track
there. We're going to lose our passes to the Touchdown Club, aren't we?
Well, you know, say, hey, Andy.
Well, you won't.
Andy, come on. Don't forget about me when you guys go big time.
Yeah, don't forget about me when Stanford's here. Don't forget me when Alabama's pulling up to play.
Alabama comes to Sac State.
We'll come back. We've got two games in the top 20 games of the Kings season. We also got week 3 power rankings ahead. Much more of D'Lo and Casey. No James Hamm today. He's at home. I think he's dying based on what
poor
I heard.
James.
Poor James. Thoughts and prayers to James Hamm, who woke up not feeling well. So if anybody around here gets sick, we're blaming James. We're back with more here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320. Kenny Caraway, social media coordinator over here.
Now we can throw on 20-minute clips on there, then.
So we're still under review, but at least it's...
we're under review.
It still says under review. Poor Charlie. I went to Charlie with my serious voice, and he got something done in an hour. I was like, Charlie, we need to get this fixed.
You see what happens when D'Lo raises his voice around here? Things get done.
I did not raise my voice. I've never raised
my
voice.
It's crazy around here, man. I'm telling you.
I've never raised my voice at Charlie. I've only expressed unhappiness and frustration one time during the lead into the Insiders and the KSFM announcement. But that was
look what happened. The Insiders were made. The show.
Yeah.
Those guys were already made, man.
Indeed, they were. Very good. Speaking of, man, Kyle had a great moment yesterday talking about his going to the game last night, his last time going to the Coliseum. And I'm an emotional guy. I love emotion, and I love when guys show emotion, especially about stuff like sports. Like, we have moments that hurt. We have moments that we remember forever, and Kyle talked very openly and honestly about his experience being an A's fan and why the A's are so important, why the Coliseum is so important. Kyle, if you listen, I really wish you had cut that clip. That was just a fantastic moment for you on the radio yesterday, and I was so happy to see the way that game ended. It was actually Kyle's tweets that sent me to the game. Mm. I saw him tweeting like about what was going on, how electric the crowd was, so I searched out the A's game and was able to catch that final inning and see the A's walk it off. And to see that Coliseum erupt the way that it did was pretty dope.
It really was, man.
And then the triple play happened like 2 minutes later,
man,
in real time.
That was crazy.
Like, those two moments happened in real time. In reality, I don't know what it was, but it couldn't have been more than a couple of minutes.
That was insane.
That the A's have that walk-off, and then all of a sudden the Padres clinch a playoff spot with Shohei Ohtani on deck in a triple play, a walk-off triple play.
Dodge the bullet. And it did something special like that. I was watching the A's game because it ended, or excuse me, the Aces game ended maybe 6th, 7th inning or some of that game, and there was really nothing else on sports wise. So I was like, let me see the A's game, man. And the crowd was there like we expected it to be. Yeah. Like, it's going to be again tonight and on Thursday. And,
yeah,
you know, it was sad to see, you know, it was sad to see, like, this is where they're at. This is the final games, in Oakland for the Oakland A's. And I'm glad they were able to show out, but I couldn't watch that game, and same as you following Kyle on Twitter, but feel bad for all those A's fans in the Bay Area who, I remember when the Kings were potentially, I don't remember which, I think it was the last one. So whatever that was that Seattle? It was definitely Seattle. But I went to a game, the game before the final game of that season. And I was just like, man, this may really be the last time I go to Arco. You know, and it was sad, and I didn't know. I say all that to say I couldn't imagine knowing that this is it. Like, yeah. This is the last time I'm gonna come to this stadium or arena and, you know, feel this way or be able to see this team. And it's just, it's terrible, man. It sucks that it's going down this way, you know.
Terrible. It does. I was happy for them in that moment, though. I was happy they got to experience that. Like, Kyle's not going tomorrow, or he's not going tonight. To the best of my knowledge, he's not going tonight or tomorrow. Like, that was his last trip to the Coliseum. I know a few other people who made their last trip to that game. So, while the last game is Thursday, some people's last game is tonight.
Yeah.
Some people's last game was last night. And for the ones who aren't going back, I'm glad that they had that moment. I hope I hope that moment carries over. I read some of the precautions that are happening for Thursday's game, and that's so unsettling. The ramped up security, like no one's addressing the crowd. You know, the players have been briefed on like security measures. Like, that's so, so disheartening.
Yeah.
And I hope that the vibe of last night, the love of that team and those players can carry over.
Yeah.
And specifically less the players, no disrespect to them, but really the franchise.
Yeah.
I know everyone hates the owner. That is 100% understandable. I know everyone hates the situation. That is understandable. Those players on the field are not part of that.
No.
And those people who are working at the arena, they aren't a part of that. And a lot of those people who are going to be in the Coliseum that night, they just want to have this one last moment with their son or their daughter or their dad or whatever. I hope nothing happens that takes away from those moments.
And it's one of those things where it doesn't feel like John Fisher or the powers that be or whatever are, how do I put it? They're not, from what I've read and what I see, it doesn't feel like they're looking to do anything to stop what could happen. And what I mean by that is they're telling people, or security or whatever, like, hey, be aware. They might go onto the field. They
What would you do?
I don't know. I don't know.
I mean, maybe
that's where, and this guy can't do that. This is where you address it. Maybe you make a statement like, look, I understand the anger or the frustration, but please, like you just said, remember there are people out there that are going to be attending this game.
Who's the person you're speaking of?
You would think it might be somebody from the A's organization, or,
well, it can't be him.
Yeah,
nobody want to hear that.
I would say, because what you said,
I don't know who the most beloved person is in that organization at this point, but it'd have to be whoever that person is.
I feel like maybe like a Ricky Henderson, a Dave Stewart, somebody like that, with the reverence and respect from A's fans, but. I don't know. Maybe it's even like, it's even like the
was it Dallas. What's the
Dallas Braden?
Could he do it?
Maybe so. Maybe I don't know the relationship, but maybe the mayor come out and speak or something like that. But like what you said is spot on. Tough. Like it was a little tongue in cheek, and it's a little. Like, it's made me chuckle, but it's a real moment. You saw the video of the guy who pulled up the seat, right? Like, he got the seat loose and pulled up the seat. And they're like, oh, they're taking the seats in Oakland already.
Mm-hmm.
And the Oakland Roots tweeted out, like, hey, we're still playing there next year.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Like, I understand your frustration, but please, like, don't tear the place up or something.
I think
something.
They had to do that with Candlestick, too, didn't they?
Yeah.
They were trying to take the seats. Like, this isn't the last event here. You can't take these seats.
Yeah. So it's a terrible situation, man. It really is. And I feel bad for all those Oakland A's fans. And I can't help but watch that game. I was watching the game last night. I'll feel the same way tonight. And then, obviously, on Thursday, I can't help but watch that game and just think about what's going on. It's all bad, man.
Yeah.
All bad.
It'll be an emotional few days for sure for Oakland A's fans and the city of Oakland in general.
I wonder what they did or what precautions they had for the last Raiders game.
If memory
security beat up police presence or something like that, or because they didn't have any incidents there.
I don't believe that
not
they
that
did.
I know of.
Didn't the Raiders get their ass beat that game?
No, they actually blew a lead, I think.
Oh, is that what happened?
Yeah. I think it was against the Jaguars.
I feel like I just remember it being bad, like really bad. Like the not the
outcome,
people.
The game.
Yeah, the actual game.
Brutally, like,
and there was kind of a like there was kind of a you got to be kidding. Like this is it. Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably fitting. That's probably fitting.
Yeah. But like
shout
I
out
said,
to
there,
the A, shout out to Oakland.
There didn't seem to be any issues at the last Raiders game, and hoping that happens for the last A's games. It kind of feels like maybe it's the owner situation, mm-hmm. but it feels like this one's a little more volatile than the last Raiders game. There's a lot of
anger. I think it's weird. I was with our man Roddy. I was upset when the Raiders left, mm-hmm. and I thought Mark's efforts to keep them in Oakland were a lot like I feel about John. I thought they were completely disingenuous. Mm. Then I learned, and there's Roddy's out there. Mm-hmm. Like Roddy's a massive Raider fan who's just sickened by what Mark Davis did and the fact that they left Oakland and all that. There's a lot of people. Our man Paul down the hall on 98
Rock. He's in a black hole.
There's a lot of people like them. Then there are a lot of Raider fans that are like, it's cool. Mm. Oakland, Los Angeles, Las Vegas. Doesn't matter. I'm a Raider fan. Mm-hmm. And when I realized there were so many of those people, it was like, all right.
Yeah.
I can't be madder than they are.
Yeah, and the Raiders situation was a little different because for better or for worse, and whether you were born or not, they had already left before.
Yeah.
So they have this – or had, because I don't think they're going to be leaving.
My favorite player was a Los Angeles Raider.
Yeah, they've got a nomadic nature to them already.
Good word.
So, yeah, came up with it. I read a little bit. I went to college. You know what I mean?
He compliment a guy on his vocabulary once, and he hits you with the yeah, I mean. He wants to remind you, like, I ain't no school book nerd. I'm still street. But, yeah, I'll throw a school word out there every once in a while.
But they had that nomadic nature of just kind of, for the better part of 25 years, just going back and forth between a couple of cities.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it a little different, I think, than the and what you said as well, is just there's Raider fans all over the country. There seems to be Oakland A's fans. They're over the country too, but it's not the same as Raider Nation.
Yeah, yeah.
Oakland
right.
fans, the Oakland right. A's fans are in Oakland and surrounding
and
areas.
In this region, yeah, in the Northern California area, yeah. For sure. We've got a lot of time today because James isn't going to be with us. So let's start because we have two today.
Mm.
We have to make up for Kenny's absence on Monday. Top 20 games of the Kings season. The list will come to a conclusion this Friday. We got games number 4 and 3 today.
Yeah.
Let's start with game number 4, a game I'm certain everyone will love to relive.
Oh, man, this was one of them ones. This was one of them ones. Watching this game back.
By the way, it's very funny where this game takes place.
Well, what you mean?
We're talking about one of them ones.
Oh, it's like the third game of the season. But that's what I was just about to say. Watching the game, it was you could feel the newness of the season because Kings Lakers games are always intense, and Kings fans are always like locked in to the Kings games. Mm-hmm. But this one, it felt like they were still energized over what had taken place the year before, making the playoffs, all mm-hmm. this other stuff, and it was just the. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but there was a newness to the season that you could feel. They hadn't been scarred by losing to Charlotte and losing to Detroit yet, and there wasn't a sense of desperation, right. which we'll see in a second. to a game. In this game, it was just happiness. It was like, yeah, we're good again. Like we're just really.
Well,
happy.
There was one thing hanging over this game.
What's that?
We had just lost to the Warriors again.
Oh, yeah. Shout out. And I didn't even go with the visitors announcing my boy Mark Jones and Katie. I was listening to them in this one, and Mark Jones was like, yeah, Steph Curry came in here on Friday, and the Kings looked to rebound. And I was like, yeah, I remember that situation. But they did rebound.
That was Janet Jackson at the venue, I think.
Oh, you missed opening night.
If memory serves me correctly, yeah. That was Janet at the venue.
Yeah, because we were. It was going to be courtside Damian for that game. You were supposed to roll with us.
Who? No, I wasn't. That was you. Don't do this. I hate when you don't do this.
You would have been up in there.
No, it wasn't. That was for you. KC down there with the boss, and I'm getting texts like, I think was this that game?
Not the Lakers game, the Warriors game.
Oh, where I was like, I'm getting texts that you might get thrown out of the arena.
It never came to being that close. I was talking to Chris Paul, talked to the ref a little bit,
I have pictures of you, like, scolding somebody.
It was the ref, because they were stupid, per usual.
I think KC gonna get tossed.
Poor Gucci, man, trying to do his job out there, and Casey's yelling at him.
Did you guys see, hold on with the game for 2 seconds. Did you see fake Gucci out here, got on his social medias?
Ball does lie sometimes.
Fake Gucci, he's firing back. Fake Gucci
Stop calling that man that.
He came out with a shirt. He's got merch. He says, ball does lie.
My man.
But, yeah, that was the Warriors game that we lost. This game was the third game of the season.
Yep.
Kings, Lakers, 132-127 in overtime. Drama.
Mm.
Drama in this game. And we were worried.
Yeah.
We were worried because the franchise went down in this game. He was phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
37 points on the night, 8 assists. But late in the fourth quarter, he went down with a rolled ankle. And you were there for this. Did you stay for this game past your normal time?
Almost certainly not. This was a Sunday.
Sunday.
Yeah, there's virtually no chance.
He goes down, and there's a hush over the arena because he's down by the stanchion, and people are worried. And he gets up and kind of walks off a little bit and goes straight into the locker room.
But yeah, now that I think about it, I was, because I was there when De'Aaron went down. There's no way I would have left in the fourth quarter. I was absolutely there for this. Yeah,
because then he comes back, and the place goes crazy when he comes back. I said during the playoff series with the Warriors, De'Aaron has that game four. They lose it. He was phenomenal. It comes out, he breaks his finger or whatever the case may be. And then they play game five. And they were there for the starting lineups or whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
And when Nata Kentucky, number five, place goes crazy. Yep. We've been to a lot of these games.
Yep.
We love De'Aaron.
There's a little something
extra
on that one.
It was different. It was like, this is the moment it felt like they fell in love with him to another.
It's a Willis Reed moment. De'Aaron went out there and scored 2 points. God bless Willis Reed. Sorry, that was inappropriate.
So I say all that to say, fast forward to this game, third game of the season, Fox goes down, everybody's just stunned.
Mm-hmm.
And then he emerges from the locker room, and the place erupts when he comes back to the scorer's table and comes back into the game. And he has some big moments, and he tried all he could to get this win in regulation. Wasn't to be, because LeBron James was phenomenal. The Kings were up by 7 with like 1:10 to go in this game, and ended up going into overtime, where Fox didn't play in the overtime, and that's where our other guy, Malik Monk, stepped up in overtime and some big-time shots. He finished with 22 points on the night. He was fantastic.
17 for the Kings in overtime.
Come on, man. Come on. This was a great game. It was electric. The crowd was obviously into it because it was the Kings, but it was Kings-Lakers.
Yep.
Fantastic. This is one of those games the Kings won where Harrison Barnes wasn't great.
Mm-hmm.
Only 8 points for Harrison. But Keegan Murray had 17 on the night. Kevin Huerter, 12 points.
Well,
Seven rebounds.
He was active. Yeah. Be fair. Seven rebounds. And in the he had four assists too.
Yeah.
It was 12-on-12.
Yeah.
He took 12 shots to get those.
He was aggressive. You know, one of the things
this is the third game. We ain't know. Yeah, he'd be aggressive.
You know, one of the things I'm starting to notice as we play these games and I've watched these games and all this other stuff. Damn, Duarte played a lot. Every time I turn around, this guy's in the game. I'm like, wait a minute.
14 minutes for Chris Duarte in this one. A stunning 15 minutes from JaVale McGee.
Oh, JaVale. Then
James Hamm was turning over in his grave for this game.
JaVale had one of the plays. Remember when he would tap it back out and he tapped it right to LeBron? Mm-hmm. On a fast break, 2-on-0 fast break. That's where he got the picture of him doing his signature dunk.
Mm-hmm.
It was that play.
Yep.
And, JaVale, 2 points on a night. Field goals, 4 points.
That was the headline the next day. Mm-hmm. LeBron James, same dunk 20 years later.
That's right, yeah.
Lakers lost
the game.
That's how it went.
Kings won the game. So this was an exciting game.
Not our job to cover the Lakers, but 20 points from Torian Prince, 27 from LeBron James, 27 and 15 from LeBron James, and 30 and 16 from Anthony Davis. And yet another L.
And look, he played well. Three blocks. He was active. Sabonis didn't even play that great in this game.
Sabonis fouled out in this one, no?
Yeah. 34 minutes, 12 points, 15 rebounds, 5 assists, only 8 shot attempts.
Did Foulmageddon happen twice, or was that just last year?
No, that was – it was just the –
Was it the year Beam Team year?
Yeah, Beam Team 1 year.
Okay.
Yeah, where he
– He can't stay on the floor! Oh, God, are we going to be able to figure this out? Domas can't stay on the floor. He keeps fouling out. It was like 3 games. We were losing our minds. We were in the moment. We were losing our minds.
It felt like was this a good trade?
He had 5 fouls again. Like, if he can't stay on the floor, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? You know what? I'm going to say it. It's time to start playing Alex Lynn. It's time to start playing Alex Lynn. That's what we do.
That's exactly how it was going down, too.
No one wants to admit that's what we do, but that's what we all do.
That's exactly how it was going down. But, he fouled out of this game. And Anthony Davis played 42 minutes for AD.
Anthony Davis only had, like, one bad game against Domas last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he got flexed on. Like, he got humiliated a couple times.
It was a bad year for him. It was a bad year. Even at the point, because like nobody was really tripping off the record, and then Perk was like, he ain't never beat Sabonis, loses like the next 3 games against Sabonis. So it was bad year against.
Does someone in the locker room this year go like, "Hey, we got to win this for our guy here"? Like, what are we doing? We have to win one for our guy. Or do we just, is it like you just pretend like it's not happening?
I don't, maybe it's like a no hitter. You don't talk
just
to him.
Just don't acknowledge it. All right.
You do it that way. But yeah, man, this was one of my favorite games of the year, obviously. But the energy, going back and watching this game, the energy in the arena was crazy. De'Aaron's heroics was on full display, man. 37 points, hurts his ankle, comes back, scores, and I think, you were there for sure, because we were telling you, like, in overtime, we were like, I got to get him out of here. Like, because he came out for overtime.
Get him out, man.
He couldn't go. So he missed, how many games did he miss with that? Maybe about 4 or 5? I think he missed 5 games.
He missed the next game against the Warriors. Davion Mitchell started that. Of course, they lost that one by one. He missed both games.
No, he missed the it was the Warriors. That's right. You're right. I'm stepping all over the situation. Because he missed Houston.
Yeah,
and everybody's like, he's not going to not play in Houston.
Oh, he did
and
not
De'Aaron
play in Houston.
And De'Aaron was like, I'll come back to Houston another time.
He didn't. The Kings lost 3 in a row with De'Aaron out of the starting lineup and Davion Mitchell in it. Then they switched. In a 120. I can't believe you remember that. Yeah. In a 121-118 victory versus the Blazers, Keon Ellis got his first start for the Sacramento Kings and was clearly out there to be the KZ Akpala. We weren't seeing him shoot. We weren't seeing him do much, but play defense. He started versus the Thunder, and then De'Aaron returned in a 132-120 win versus the Cleveland Cavaliers.
That's right. That's
the
right.
Kings' third straight victory in a stretch of six. De'Aaron returns and scores 28 points in a game that saw Herder score 20, Domas score 23, and Keegan score 25. Harrison scored four.
Well, that's why it's not on the list.
Sasha with 11 points.
Oh, yeah, Sasha was in this game, too. Sasha was getting how many? I forgot to see how many did Sasha have in this game. Sasha had 11. 4-10 from the field. He played 18 minutes.
Sasha.
I was watching this game, and I was like, I saw Sasha come in. I was like, oh, Sasha. And I remember third game of the season, like, we're really excited to see him and all this other stuff. And I was like, this is going to be one of those moments where 3 years from now, Kings are title contenders and playing well. And we'll look back on a game like this and be like, oh, remember the Sasha era when we thought, remember that? Oh, man, we were so hyped on this guy.
He's a EuroLeague MVP. He's going to be good.
Hey, man. What if Sasha winds up starting? Sasha over Harrison Barnes.
I'm going to take it.
Harrison Barnes start coming off the bench, man. His team get to the next level.
I'm going to go to my grave saying, I think Sasha could have been better than what he was here. I think he could have been a better player.
So here's my one. Here's how I'll push back. Like, after one practice, Mike was like, I don't know when he's going to play.
He did say that.
He wasn't the most athletic guy on the court ever.
It was literally one practice. Mike was like, I don't know. Hey, he might not even get in the rotation. Like, wait a minute, what? Y'all flew all over the world to see this man play.
Didn't you go to the game over there?
Mike was like, oh, it's a bad idea. Oh, a bad idea.
So when we come back, we'll do.
When you game see number. Mike tomorrow, just ask him. Hey, admit it. This is a bad idea, right?
No, I'm gonna just Mike. Come over here, man. Let's talk.
Let's talk.
Off the record.
Let's talk.
What were you thinking?
That's what it says. Yeah, that's what it says. We'll come back. We still got game three.
There's a lot of things that happen in game three.
Well, this game is just the Kings' season. That's what it is. We also have week three power rankings. Kenny has turned his in. He's not going to make
up. There's no surprise this time.
He's not going to make him up on the spot like he did last week.
That was surprising you, and I didn't get the response I wanted.
I was ever surprised someone?
Why are
you
trying to surprise me?
Because it was your boy Baker. I put him in a. You say I'm a Baker hater.
What did you want me? What did you want my response? Do you want me to hug you?
Oh, no, I wanted the response to be what you did when I said I would buy the Seahawks.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was a surprise. That was a surprise. Yeah, we'll come back. We've got power rankings on the way. More Kings talk. We're thrilled that you're here with us. It's D'Lo and KC on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Damien's walked in here distraught.
What did Kim do now?
We're out there arguing the merit. She, like, I walk by and she's whispering. Like, what are you whispering about? Like, Complex is sitting over there. And she's talking about Jaheim.
Okay. I'm surprised she knows who he is.
Well, there's that. But then she starts making, then there's this argument that I was like, okay, I think you're overreacting a little bit, but Jaheim's got like three records. Why is that big of a deal? Really, I think at first I said two. Like, oh, maybe he's got three. She's like, no, he's got like five.
Yeah,
like,
I'd give him five.
He doesn't have five. Jaheim doesn't have five.
No, I'd give him five.
He doesn't have five.
Come on now.
You better put that woman first, just in case. What else?
What's the name of this? His first single. Is
yeah,
a
it
classic.
Was it? Yeah, I know.
No,
I
it's
can't
a
remember. I know. I can't remember what it is.
Could it be? Is the name? Could it be? Put that woman first,
could
just
it be?
In case. Could it be the That song is fire. That's the best song he ever did to me. And then
why is that not hitting with
like
me?
Like you said, just in case, put that woman first. And then the one that she was just singing. And then he's got another one.
Could it be?
Could that song.
Oh, yeah.
That's his best song.
Yeah.
That's on fire.
Oh, yeah. It is on point.
He got five.
Yeah, that's a good one.
He got five. He can he can be all night for lovers, too.
He got three. anything is good. I'll give him three.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'll give him four.
Oh, see, now we get to six four. Or seven. I think he got six or seven.
He doesn't have six or seven. He doesn't have six or seven. This is a good record. Put that woman first. Anything. I mean, I've changed.
Oh, just in case. Yeah, well, don't do. No, don't.
Could
do that
it be
with Keisha?
No, I'm giving him. I'll give you four.
I think you can go to seven.
The Ghetto Love album was decent.
I think you can go to seven.
I'll give you four. Nah.
And I'm not even a big Jaheim fan like that, but I think you might be able to go to seven.
I ain't going to seven. I go to four. I'll give you.
Oh,
I'll
Fabulous.
Give you,
I don't really like Fabulous.
I'll give you four and a half for Keisha Cole.
Fabulous. Did you say that? I didn't really like that song.
No, no, well, no, 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 no.
That one was played heavy. No. It was in heavy
played
rotation.
Played heavy where?
On the radio. I don't even really like that song, but.
Oh, it was. I played it. Yeah, no, this... yeah, it was. I forgot.
I think he's
eight on us. We're fabulous. All right, I'll give you 4.75. 4.75.
Why is he? Is he pulling up on us or something?
No, no. Let me. Hey, Let me. Hey. I'll give you 4.75. That's where we're at. 4.75. 4.75.
And how do you know who
Good
he
talk.
Is?
There you go. If you want us to analyze your favorite artist catalog, let us know. We'll do it. 4.75 for.
Oh, Ja. Charismatic Enigma and the Matthews Mattress Chatty House. He said, are there big Jaheim fans out there? I'm sure, maybe.
Probably. I mean, the boy can sing.
He can.
Like, I think he can still sing. I saw some clips.
Yeah. The presentation's different.
But... Well, he's got to fix that.
Yeah.
He should. He doesn't have to. He can do what makes him happy. He doesn't have to. And he should just do what makes him happy. But, yeah, maybe. Yeah. Maybe cut.
Jaheim, you can go right out there. Go right out there.
Yeah. He could, right out here at the soundstage. Yeah.
Or
Night for Lovers 2.
Or in the, I don't even know if I can say. I ain't
Wasn't
say
Night
it.
For Lovers 2 supposed to happen?
Yeah, it was supposed to
when
be.
When like John B. supposed to be here?
It's supposed to be like November. But I'm not even going to say what the other place. Well, that's not more of a performance. That's more of an interview situation.
What, out there?
No. Oh. The tribal chief just bursted into the studio. And
was Oh, yeah. The... Our little, we got a tractor trailer. That's what our boss told us. Hey, so we're building this tractor trailer for you guys. Like, hey, could you tell us a little bit more about this tractor you got for us? But it was less tractor and more trailer. Like, it's essentially a truck.
And then he was trying to explain to us like the difference between like tractors and other things they got going on in the Midwest.
I didn't want to tell him he was wrong.
He seemed completely like befuddled.
Yeah, he was kind of like, how do you guys not know this?
That we thought he was talking about like a farming tool.
Yeah.
He kept saying tractor. Like, you want us to interview Pilo on a tractor.
You say tractor, I think John Deere, bro.
Like, hey, yeah. De'Aaron Fox is pulling up. We're going to interview him on a tractor.
And he was... He was really right. agitated that day, so I didn't push it.
Oh, that's the difference between me and you.
Yeah, Dan was pushing it.
I noticed his agitation, and so I pushed it a little bit further just to see.
Bro, there's one where we're all kind of sitting out there, right? And Tribal Chief was walking to his office, and Dame says something. I've never seen the Tribal Chief turn around so fast. Like, oh, what? What'd you say? And Aaron walks back, and he's here.
He had some things to get off his chest. It was so funny. I was working, and he, we're having a discussion about something, and he's frustrated, and I know he's frustrated. I assure you, the conversation ends. He leaves. I have no idea how far down the hallway he got, and then turned around and came back, and you know what? And just kept...
Bro, he wasn't stopping.
He just kept going. So I was like, all right. Hey, my man's going through it. I'm going to listen. The flip side of that is if you're holding a meeting and I can clearly see you're agitated And you get more agitated when people ask questions, then I'm just going to push your buttons.
What an S starter.
I'm just going to push your buttons. And I think everyone was in on it because Gavin started asking questions and Kevin started asking questions.
And then I think Dame hits him with that, you sure you're okay? And Aaron's like, you want to keep asking me that?
That's a true story.
And then I won't even say what it is because I ain't gonna say what it is. But there was something going on that he couldn't understand why we cared about.
I dumped that.
I
thought you were trying to remember. I thought you.
Jesse don't know how to talk in code.
That's when producing goes bad.
I want to possibly be invited next year, so I didn't want to say nothing. But he, not being from here, he's like, I don't understand why it's such a big deal. We're like, no, come on, man, we here. Like, you take the pictures here and all this other stuff, man. Like, no, this is dope. I don't get it.
Oh, you know, and so we didn't even tell the best part of that story. We got invited to this event that Casey is talking about. But the great part was I was sitting at the house. I think it was Sunday. It was definitely Sunday because that's why we didn't do it. I got a text from a coworker of ours. Hey, you going to the farm to fork thing? I was like, nah, we're not invited. And she says, well, I got invited like 5 minutes ago. And it's in an hour. I was like, are you going? Like, no, like I can't. 5 minutes later, Stacey Kaufman pops up on the phone. Hey, so a client canceled. Do you want to go to Farm to Fork? Short notice. It's like 40 minutes away at this point. So I was like, hey, we'd love to, but no, we have TV responsibilities coming up at 6 o'clock. So we missed out on our opportunity to eat on the Tower Bridge.
All I wanted to do was just take a little, like, hey! That's all I wanted to do. It looks like a very nice event. It was hella hot that day.
Oh, it was crazy hot. But the best part of the Aaron meeting is Aaron got sick of us asking questions, so he started asking questions. And for reasons known to no human being on Earth, he starts with Jesse.
Y'all don't know why he did that, bro.
He goes to Jesse.
I had to catch myself, too.
He goes to Jesse and says, Jesse, anything? And Jesse straight up goes, just want to get to the studio and go to work.
That's what he always tells him.
Bro, it's a meeting. Like, end it. Like, no, we don't have anything for you ever. No, I don't want to keep this meeting going.
Jesse does not want to he does not want to mingle. He does not want to
linger. I'm here to work.
To do my job.
That's always been my thing. Like one time Crystal showed up. I used to work at Champs at the mall in Modesto, right? And Crystal shows up and says, oh, I wanted to come visit you at work. I'm kind of like, all right, well, like, what's up? But I'm working right now. Like, wouldn't you want to hang out?
She wanted to see what you did at Champs. It's a good woman right there.
That's facts. Yeah,
so you want to see me go get a size 11 out of the bag?
You need 7.5 or?
Those situations are actually a little easier than I thought. When I used to work at Chance, because Jesse will know, there's just the number. You go by that, there's a 3-digit number on the box and it helps.
Bro, they used to hate me. I'd grab my box of shoes or whatever, come back. They want to buy it. All right, just throw it back there. I wouldn't even put it back.
Oh, man, this guy.